think of your honor. I have no defense.
Try.
But that's when mercy won't be.
Thank you, brother.
Pleaded my case.
Amen.
Called to the stand. God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covers my sins. Forgive them when mercy won't be.
Amen.
Could this be that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains were broken.
Amen.
I felt born again the moment when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded.
Yeah,
he called to the stand. God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covers my sins.
Yeah.
The moment when mercy walked in.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, mercy walked in and pleaded.
Yeah.
Called to the stand.
Oh, listen.
God saving grace.
Woo. Thank you, Lord.
The blood was presented that covers my sins. Forgive us when mercy walked in. The blood was presented.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise
He'll
the Lord.
He'll do that for you today,
Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Turn with me, if you would, this morning to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians, chapter 4. Verse 21. Galatians 4:21. Let's all read this verse together this morning. I'm just going to read one verse, have a prayer, and preach the message that the Lord's put upon my heart for today. Galatians 4:21. Let's read together now.
Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law?
Father, we thank you so much for your precious word today.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for, Lord, being able to have the health to be able to be out and be in your house, Lord, this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I pray that this message that you put upon my heart to preach today, Father, I pray that it would touch hearts today,
yes, Lord,
that it would do that thing that would be pleasing unto you, Lord, that it would bring honor and glory to you, for you deserve it all. Father, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to get out of the way. I pray that you'd help me to preach not my words, but thine, Lord. Lord, as I preach to the outside, Father, you please preach to the inside, Lord. I pray that you'd convict. I pray that you'd exhort, that you would encourage us this morning in your word. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be seated this morning. As you well know, I've said many times in my preaching, and I don't mean to be repetitious, but I love preaching on the thought of a question. I just like it. I like because preaching ought to make us think. It ought to have a response, an answer. And so I just like preaching on the thought of a question. And there's the question here this morning in this verse. It says, "Do ye not hear the law?" Now, that's not the title on the message this morning. And before I say the title this morning, I'd like to ask you a question. Now, this question is going to catch you off guard a little bit this morning, but I do have a purpose in this. There is an internet video, a song, if you will, and the name of that song is "What Does the Fox Say?" Now, I'd like you to be honest with me this morning, and if you've listened to this song, if you've heard this song, "What Does the Fox Say?" raise your hand this morning. What does the fox say? You heard that song? Yeah, there's quite a few this morning. Now, if you were having to take a guess this morning about this song that'd be on the internet, "What Does the Fox Say?" how many million people do you think this morning have listened to this song? "What Does the Fox Say?" Well, it's more than a million. It's more than 5 million. It's more than 100 million. 490 more million have listened to "What Does the Fox Say?" Now, this morning, if you was to take this message probably and put it out on the internet and stuff, I almost guarantee you it wouldn't get 490 million hits.
Right.
And that's because this morning of the subject that I'm preaching on, obviously, I'm not preaching this morning on "What Does the Fox Say?" I could really care less what the fox says. But this morning I'm preaching on "What Does the Law Say?"
Amen.
What does the law say? You see, this world's not interested this morning in what the law has to say. They could care less this morning what the law says. And you know, to me, that's a wonderful indication this morning that it won't be long before God comes back.
That's right.
Because listen, as this world goes on, and this world cares less and less about what God says,
right,
and about more and more about what they think and how they feel, doesn't the Bible say in the last day that men will do what's right in their own eyes?
Right.
Not what's right in the sight of God. They could care less what God's ideas are,
right,
what God's laws are,
right,
what God's thoughts are,
yeah,
about something.
Yeah.
It's what seems right in our own eyes.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening this week on the radio, and I heard them mention Brother Judge Roy Moore again. And I tell you, they weren't talking kindly about him. They weren't talking kindly about how he was standing up for the Word of God.
Right.
You know, what they were saying is that, well, he's just doing this for political gain.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying, Brother Eddie. That he's just trying to make a big deal out of this, whatever. They wouldn't say that he was standing for the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
They wouldn't say that he was standing for the truth this morning. Brother Judge Moore, Roy Moore, he was saying he, and they didn't even bring up that point. He said, if we throw out the commandments, if we throw out what God says about marriage being between a man and a woman, and we do what we feel like is right in our own eyes, Brother Paul, where does it stop? There is no foundation, if there is no Word of God and no truth and no commandment, where does it stop?
Yeah,
my friend, it doesn't stop.
Right.
Right now, if we feel like a woman marry a woman, a man marry one, next week it'll be a man marrying a brother or a sister or a woman or whatever. Let's just bring in animals into it too.
Right.
Why not? We just do whatever we feel like is right. And my friend, that is the way and the path of destruction when you go away from the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God settles it, and the law tells us that, you know, see, it's not up to me and you if we like it or not.
Right.
It's the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the law of God.
Amen.
And so this morning, what does the law say? Now, before I preach on what does the law say, just a couple of points here. Why don't people hear the law? Why don't people hear the law? Set aside for a second, what does the law say? But this morning, why do people not hear the law? Well, number one, the law is being removed.
Right.
Just like there with Brother Roy Moore there and taking out the Ten Commandments. I mean, this world is fixated on removing the law of God.
Amen.
Taking it out of all the schools, all the public places, anything. Let's just remove the law of God.
Right.
We don't want to look at it. We don't want to see it. We don't want to acknowledge it. Therefore, we'll just remove it. So listen, my friend. People are not hearing the law this morning because it's being removed.
Right.
It's being removed. Not only is it being removed, but the law is not being preached. You can look at churches all throughout the land and stuff, and preachers will not preach the law because they don't want to offend somebody. Listen to this one. The law will offend you.
Oh, yeah.
The law is not meant to be pleasing to the ear. The law will offend you, and that's why it's called the law.
Right.
But many preachers, they won't preach it.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
They don't want to lose anybody. Listen, when the law is not preached, there is no conviction. If there's no conviction, there's no real salvation. There's no repentance towards God if the law is not preached.
Right. Amen, Brother Nathan.
Right.
That's why we're seeing fewer and fewer real people, people getting really saved.
That's
really
right.
Getting converted and stuff because they've not been preached the law.
Amen.
Another reason why that the law, why people don't hear the law, is the law is not being taught at home.
Right.
I mean, think about it this morning. We cry and we mourn because the law is being taken out of the school, taken out of the public places. What about at home? Have you taken the law out of your home? Nobody has told you that you got to take the law out of your home. Nobody has said that and done that, but are you doing it?
Right.
Are you teaching your kids and you yourself? Do you know the law? Do you know the law this morning? Is it being taught to your children? You see, it's not our school's responsibility to teach them the law of God. That's the parents' role and responsibility.
Amen.
This morning is to teach the law.
Amen.
And then lastly here about why don't people hear the law. They don't want to hear the law.
Right.
They choose not to hear the law. Listen to this verse in Proverbs 28:9. Listen closely to this verse. He that turneth away his ear from the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
That's right.
Listen to that again. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. It's not that the law was taken away. It's not that the law wasn't being preached or taught. It's that they turned their ear away from hearing the law. Even his prayer shall be abomination.
Amen.
You see, these people who reject it and they don't receive the law of God and they don't want to hear about the law of God and they're lost and they're on their way to hell, but yet trouble comes and trouble happens and they get into a situation. And what do they want to do? They want to cry out to God. God, help me with this trouble. God, help me with this problem. Well, the Bible says that when you reject, when you do not, when you turn your ear away from hearing the Word of God, your prayer is an abomination.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen.
Why don't people hear the law? It's being removed. It's not being preached. It's not being taught. People just don't want to hear. People just don't want to hear the law. So this morning, what does the law say? Notice in the verse there that we read. See, the verse says, do ye not hear the law? Now, I'm not a genius this morning, but the Bible says, do you not hear the law? If you're going to hear the law, if you're going to hear something, then something must be said. Is that correct this morning?
Amen.
I mean, if I ask you the question, did you hear him? Or did you hear that? Something had to have been spoken or made a saying. Yeah. So this refers to here that the law must say something. The law says something.
Yeah.
And so just a few points here on what does the law say. In Romans chapter 7,
amen,
verse 7,
amen,
the Bible says this, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. We're going to stop right there. So the one thing that the law says is here's what sin is. The law points out what sin is this morning. I'm going to use just an illustration here this morning. You've all been in a house and seen maybe wood is where you kind of see it mostly. If you've got any wooden furniture in your house or anything like that, you'll see the dust that kind of accumulates and stuff on that. And you go through and you'll clean it and dust it and everything and clean it off. But then, when you go and you, say, open a window and the sunlight shines in, what do you see in the air there? You see dust. Now, it was there before. It was there all along, but you didn't see it until the light hit it.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's just like seeing the stuff that's in our life. And the law, is like the sunlight. The law is like the flashlight. And it comes in, and then we can see our sins. See, people don't like the law because they don't want any knowledge of their sin. They don't want any light showing up in their life. That's why the Bible says that men choose darkness rather than light. Because in the light of the Word of God, in the light of the law, their sins are made manifest.
You're preaching.
Sin becomes acknowledged, and you can see it then because it's in the light of the law. So the Bible says, the law says, here's what sin is. Here's what sin is. I'm going to point out what you sin is. And then, not only does it say, here's what sin is. Then if you look at the refinish reading that verse there, it says in Romans 7:7, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
Amen.
The law tells us, this is an example here of the law telling us what sin is.
Amen.
So this morning, if the law tells us what sin is, what does the law say, or what's in the law? Well, part of it is the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments this morning is the law. And let me ask you this morning, if you were asked this morning, well, can you say the Ten Commandments? Do you know the law? Do you know the commandments? Do you know that thou shalt have no other gods before me? Thou shalt not make any engraven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Honor the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments this morning. Do you know them this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Do your children know the Ten Commandments this morning? Don't you think that's important?
Amen.
It's important for us to know what is the law? What is the, you know, because we get all in an uproar whenever it gets removed, but do we know it? Do we even know it? We get all tore up whenever it gets taken down places and stuff, but have we hid it in our heart? Do we know what the law of God says? We ought to. In the teen class there, part of one of the video things that we watched, it was a sad commentary. And listen, this is true. You could do it right now, probably in many different places. But they asked people. They said, "Do you know the Ten Commandments?" And of course, they sat there just stuttering around and thinking. And you know, most of them could say, "Well, I know, you know, I shouldn't kill," and maybe some of them said, you know, don't commit adultery maybe, but boy, they struggled to name one or two. And then they turned right around and they asked that individual, they said, well, how many names of beer can you name? How many types of beer can you... Oh, buddy, that was easy. I mean, they was naming them right and left, types of beer, types of alcohol, they could name them just like that. But the law of God, they couldn't name.
Right, man.
Now you can do that same thing this morning. Say, "Hey, can you name the Ten Commandments?" Well, I, you know, struggle through it. Now tell me who all the players are on Kentucky basketball team. Tell me who all is on your favorite sports team. You know, oh, I know them. But do you know the law?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Schoolmaster.
Right.
See, people can name all kinds of things in this world, but the law of God, we shun from. So let me ask you this morning, if you took those commandments, you took those, the law of God there, how would you stand up against those this morning? If you're lost this morning, how would you stand? See, this question here in verse 21 says, tell me ye that desire to be under the law. These people, they desired to be under the law. They wanted to work. They wanted to do something. They wanted to try to keep the law. And Paul is saying here in this word, he's saying, do you not hear what the law says?
Amen.
Evidently, you don't understand the law.
Right.
Because he says, do you not hear? You want to be under the law, but don't you hear what the law has to say?
Right.
So let me ask you this morning, how do you stand up against the law of God? Would you, let me ask you, if you consider yourselves a good person this morning? If you're lost, you know, do you consider yourself a good person? And most people say, well, yeah, consider myself a good person, you know, and stuff. Well, have you ever lied before. Well, if somebody's honest, Brother Paul, they're going to say, I've certainly lied. Well, have you ever stolen something? You know, didn't belong to you. You know, no matter how small, how big, have you ever stolen something? Well, yeah, I probably took something before, didn't belong to me and everything. I mean, you could go on and on. Most everybody, if not everybody, has coveted what somebody else had.
Oh, yeah.
And then whenever you say, well, have you ever committed adultery? Oh, no, I've never committed adultery. But the Bible says if you looked upon someone in lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever killed somebody? Well, no, I never murdered anybody. The Bible says if you hated your brother, then you've committed your guilty of murder.
Right.
So if you look at the law and you listen to what the law is saying this morning, you wouldn't stand very well.
That's right.
With the law. You wouldn't stand very good with the law. Matter of fact, let's look at Romans. Let's look at Romans 3:19 this morning. And in Romans 3:19, the Bible says, "Now we know that the things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped."
Oh, yeah.
See, not only does the law say, here's what sin is. If you've got a question about what sin is, just look at the law. Because the law says, here's what sin is. Now, point number two about what does the law say? We just read it here. It says, "Now we know that the things of law, it saith to them who are under law, that every mouth may be stopped." You know what the law says? It says, hush. It said, just shut your mouth and hush, because you've got no excuses. You've got nothing to say against the law. You don't have any reason or no excuses. Just stop talking. I've wondered about whenever the law stand before God and God, you know, they're being stand before Him there, and I've often wondered if number one, if they'll even be able to say anything at all, because there'll be no excuse. They'll have no excuses or no reasons. But I've often wondered if maybe whenever they started to even try to give an excuse, that God wouldn't just stop them and say, no, there are no excuses.
Right.
Because the law stops the mouth.
Amen.
It stops the mouth. Brother Jack, nobody against this law can say anything that can come up. You know, we live in a world of excuses, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people will have excuses for everything. Wasn't my fault because I've got an excuse. And I've got an excuse for that. Listen, when you stand before God, if you're lost this morning and you stand before God, you will be put up against the law here,
right,
and you'll have no excuse.
Amen.
You'll have no excuses. So the law says, here's what sin is. And the law says, hush. Just silence. Stop your mouth. Stop talking. That's what the law says. And now another thing here this morning, just finishing on the rest of that Romans 3:19, here's what the end of that verse says. And all the world may become guilty before God.
Amen.
You know what the law says this morning? You're guilty as charged.
That's right.
Amen.
Guilty as charged. See, I think some people have it wrong that whenever they stand before God, that'll be the time to try to work out whether they're innocent or guilty. It's not that way.
That's right.
Listen, this morning, let me help you out this morning. If you're lost this morning and you die in your sins, you're guilty.
Right.
There is none of this innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
You are guilty. Listen, when you stand before God, it's not going to be a pleading of your case.
Right.
Because your case has already been settled.
Right.
The Bible says that you're dead in your sins even now.
Right.
You are condemned right now.
Yeah.
So listen, whenever you stand before God, if you don't get saved and you stand before God in His presence, it's not a guilty or innocent trial. This is when the sentencing takes place.
Right.
This is when you will be sentenced. See, in the judicial system today, innocent proven guilty, and you go through the court system and stuff, and if you're found guilty, then you'll have a separate hearing for sentencing. Listen, if you're lost right now, you are guilty. You've already been settled. If you're already guilty, and you're just waiting for the sentencing to happen.
Right.
So listen, the Bible says that the law says guilty as charged. And listen, we in James chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So you may say this boy, "Well, I've never made any graven images, or I've never done this, or I've never done that." Listen, you've transgressed the word of God, the law of God, in one place and more, and therefore you are guilty of all. Matter of fact, let's just look at James 2:11. It says, "For this, for he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now, if thou commit adultery, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law."
Right.
You are guilty as charged.
Right.
Guilty.
Amen.
The law says, here's what sin is. The law says, just hush, silence. You got no excuses.
Right.
And the Bible says that the law says you're guilty.
Amen.
That's what the law says. The law says that you're guilty. Let's look at another thing this morning that the law says. The law says that it cannot save and it cannot justify. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, the Bible says, "For the law made nothing perfect." The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, which we draw nigh unto God. Romans 3, verse 20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin."
Amen.
Listen, the law cannot justify. The purpose of the law was not to justify. The purpose of the law is to condemn. And the purpose of the law is to be our schoolmaster.
Right.
And the purpose of the law is to show us our sins.
Yeah.
If you think about the law is more or less a big neon sign that ought to point us to Christ.
Yeah.
It ought to point us to Jesus. That's what the law's purpose is to point us to Jesus.
Amen.
So where do you stand today? Where do you stand today in this law? Are you saved? If you're not saved this morning, you stand before God guilty under the law. Guilty under the law. And the law says that there's no hope. See, there's no hope in the law. There's no hope in the law. There's only condemnation. There's only guilt. And the end of the law is death. There, in the law and under the law, my friend, is death. And not only death, but eternal death and eternal separation from God.
Amen.
Do you not hear the law? That's what he's saying here. He says, you want to be under the law? Don't you hear what the law says?
Right.
Don't you understand the law? The law this morning, the devil has them deceived into thinking that, the law is okay and I'll try to do better and I'll try to keep the law. But the law is not your friend this morning. The law is there to condemn and guilt and death.
Man.
That's what the law says. So do you hear the law? Do you hear what the law is saying? If you're lost this morning, I hope you do.
Yeah.
I hope you really hear what the law says.
Amen.
What the law is saying. What the law is saying, and that the law is against you today. And not for you, but the law is against you.
Amen.
And I hope it bothers you.
Yeah.
I hope that it troubles you this morning if you're lost. I hope the thought of being guilty and standing before God and being under the law, I hope it troubles you this morning.
Amen.
I hope it troubles you enough and bothers you enough this morning that at the end of the message you'll come up and say, "Lord, I don't want to be under the law anymore. I know that I'm guilty and I don't want to be guilty anymore." I hope that it bothers you this morning.
Amen.
Now I realize that you need to come and say, "Lord, I realize that I'm guilty, that I'm nothing but a sinner, and I need to be saved and repent this morning." So this morning we've given time to what does the law say this morning?
Right.
But there's another voice in the scriptures this morning. There's another voice. We've heard and we went through what does the law say But let's end with this morning. But what does grace say? See, grace has a voice too. And grace wants to tell you this morning something. Where the law says you're guilty, grace says, come and be forgiven. Grace says, come this morning. The Bible says that grace says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. This morning, grace says, come.
Amen.
You see, the reason why the law doesn't say come is because you don't have to come. You're already there.
Right? Amen.
You're already under the law.
Right.
You're already under the law. The law doesn't have to say come, but grace bids you come. Grace says there's an open invitation to come and to be saved this morning. Grace says, hey, there's a better way. There's a better way this morning. There's a way that the Bible says, and I mentioned it a minute ago, the Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Right.
Amen.
See, the law seems right to a man. It says, well, there's these commandments, and I need to do my best to try to keep them and try to work toward it and try to meet them. That's what seems right to a man. But listen, you can't do it.
Right.
And the way of the man ends in death this morning.
That's right, but man.
But grace says there's a better way.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
There's a better way. His name is Jesus.
Yeah,
see, He kept the law where you and I could not keep the law, but He kept it. So if we'll trust in Him rather than ourselves, if we'll put our faith and our trust in Him, He is the better way. The better way. What else does grace say this morning? Grace says repent this morning. It says in Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorant God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now that all men everywhere seems to sum it up to me. The Bible tells us that all men have come short of the glory of God.
Right.
All have sinned this morning. So if all have sinned, then all need to repent. And that's what grace says. Grace says, come. Grace says, hey, there's a better way this morning.
Amen.
Grace says, hey, repent. And then grace says, believe. Believe. Grace says, hey, you need to believe Jesus. You need to believe what He did for you. You need to believe that He came and that He died on a cross and that He shed His precious blood so that you might be able to be saved this morning. And on the third day, He arose and now is seated at the right hand of God. Grace says, believe.
Amen.
Believe. Come and repent and believe and trust in God. You know, I like what the Bible says there. It says, you know, here stands before you death and life. It says, choose life. And this morning, listen, don't choose the law. That's saying you got two choices. You're under the law this morning, but there's also grace. There's a better way to go. And I'm telling you this morning that God is saying, choose grace. Because the end of the law is death, but the end of grace is life everlasting.
Amen.
Life everlasting.
Thank you, Lord.
This morning, we've heard what the law has to say. I really like how it said that. He said, to you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?
Right.
He's saying, are you hard of hearing this morning? Do you not hear what the law has to say?
Oh, man.
Right.
But I hope this morning that you've heard the law. And in hearing the law, you decided in your heart, hey, I don't like what the law has to say.
Amen.
I don't want to be under the law.
Amen.
I want to be under grace.
Praise the Lord.
Listen, this morning, you know, there's two groups of people in this world, those that are saved and those that are not saved.
Right.
If you're lost this morning, you are under the law. If you die that way under the law, there will be no mercy. Brother Eddie, whenever Brother Rick was preaching the other day, talking about the rich man in hell and how that the rich man, he you know, he wanted water, and he prayed for some water, and he asked for this and he asked for that. But the very first thing that he pleaded for, that he asked for, right after he opened up his eyes being in torment, he said, Father, have mercy on me. Listen, in the law, there is not mercy.
That's right.
You'll not find mercy in the law.
Right.
Where you'll find mercy at is under grace.
Amen.
Grace is where you will find mercy this morning.
Amen.
But listen, if you die lost, if you choose to go through your life and reject what God's done for you, if you reject God's plan and you die lost, do not be surprised, my friend, that whenever you stand before God, you will stand there representing yourself. You'll have no advocate with you. You'll be there by yourself, and there you will find no mercy.
That's right.
No mercy. There's only justice. There's only justice under the law. And when you stand there, there'll be no pleading. There may be pleading, there may be begging, but there'll be no mercy down there. You know where you can find mercy? Under grace.
Yeah.
Amen.
Listen, you won't find mercy after you pass away. Now's the time to find mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
Now's the time to find mercy. Yes. See, people that choose to neglect and wait, and it's then too late. Mm. They'll cry out.
Oh, yeah.
They'll cry out for mercy. And then they'll say, Lord, I should have. I should have done this. It's too late then.
Right.
It's too late then.
Right.
But God has given you another opportunity this morning.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Another opportunity.
Yes,
to come and get saved this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know one time I remember standing back at the back there, and I counted from the back door, and I counted the number of steps it took to get to the altar. And I don't remember how many that it was, but it wasn't that many. So no matter where you are in the church house today, think about how many steps there are between you and salvation this morning to God.
Yeah.
And do you want to go through life and do you want to take the chance this morning that something might happen to you, that you might not have another opportunity to come and get saved over just a short distance that you could have come and gotten saved? Listen, if you die lost today in hell, you'll remember this preacher.
Right.
You'll remember this sermon for as long as you're there, which will be eternity. You'll remember where you even sat at in this service, and you'll remember God speaking to your heart.
Amen.
You'll remember God giving you that opportunity to come and get saved, and you'll remember it was just a few steps.
Amen.
It wouldn't have been very far for me to go and to give my life to the Lord, to repent of my sins. It wasn't that far.
That's good,
this morning, we're going to have an invitation this morning, and I pray that if God has spoken to your heart, I know most of us are saved this morning. But if you're lost, listen, if God has spoken to your heart, please don't take it lightly this morning. Listen, we're living in the last days, and you could be putting it off, and God call us all home tomorrow or this afternoon. We have no promise of tonight. We don't know if we're going to be here in tonight's service.
That's right, brother.
Listen, I just beg and I plead with you today. If you don't have a place and a time where you ask the Lord to save you, that's what you need.
Yeah.
That's what you need. Listen, don't try to work things out. You can't do it.
That's
don't try to turn over a new leaf. Listen, you don't need a new leaf. You need to be put in a new tree. You need to be grafted into the tree of God. Listen, turning over a new leaf ain't going to help you. You've got to be grafted into that living tree of God that's going to heaven rather than going to hell this morning. Listen, don't try to do better. Don't say, I'm going to try to stop cussing. I'm going to start treating people better. Listen, you can't do it this morning on your own. I pray you'd come up and you'd get saved before it's everlasting too late. Would you do that, please? I pray. Let us stand this morning. Let's have a song this morning. Listen, if God is speaking to your heart, please. Make your way to this altar today. Listen, time is running short. We don't have any promise. The Bible says, come now and let us reason together. Listen, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow's just on the calendar of fools. Today, God has given you the opportunity. Please seize that opportunity. I beg you this morning, don't shun God. Don't turn your ear from the law of God. I'm asking you this morning, do you hear? Do you hear what the law says? And if you're lost this morning, the law is telling you you're guilty. You're guilty. And when you stand before God, you'll have no excuses. And you will be sentenced to hell if you die lost. And I don't want that to happen to you. God doesn't want it to happen to you. Jesus doesn't want that to happen to you this morning. You can change that this morning. You can change where you'll spend eternity if God is speaking to your heart.
Amen.
If God's troubling your heart. We're going to sing the verse of the song. I pray you just step out. I pray you be bold enough and troubled enough that you'd step out. And you'd come to this altar and you'd say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've transgressed your law. And I'm just asking you to forgive me. You know what? If you pray that, and you mean that with all of your heart, God will save you. He'll save you this morning. You just have to come and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to say that he is willing, he is ready, and he wants to. He wants to this morning. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's God's will this morning. Make that your will today. Yield to God's will this morning. Listen, don't allow pride to send you to hell this morning. Don't do it. You need to turn to Jesus. You need to swallow your pride and be humble like a child. Come and pray this morning. That's what I'm pleading to you this morning. Is to just step out and make your way to this altar. Let's sing.
119.
Number 119. I'm just telling you this morning, don't let anything keep you from coming to God. Don't let nothing keep you from repenting and coming to God this morning. You need to just turn everything aside, and you just need to focus on coming to God, and God can take care of it. I hope that you're troubled right now inside. I hope that God's speaking to your heart this morning and letting you know where you stand with Him. We're going to sing one more verse. I pray you come. If you need to come, I pray you come. Something to think about
thank you for if you're Lord,
lost, Lord.
Being faithful, Lord.
I'm glad that I'm not under the law anymore. I'm glad I'm under grace. I'm glad I've been saved, and glad that I know it. I'm glad that hell's not my home. I'm not going there.
They don't have any fear of God. They don't have any regard.
I just pray this morning that that you got that peace in your heart. That you got that place and time where you knelt down and you asked the Lord to save you. That's what it all boils down to. You know you're saved. I pray that you do. They're a word upon anyone's heart today. Word at all.
Brother Nathan, the Lord just pressed by my heart. If you're hearing, Lord, I remember at my daddy's funeral, the preacher stood there and begged people, because you don't know what day it's going to be your day to step out into eternity, and that you got to be ready. As our funeral procession got down below the Glasgow High School, the hearse got through, preacher got through, two family members got through, and there was a car that ran a red light, hit daddy's pallbearer, flipping the car in the air, killed one man instantly. So very few people made it to the gravesite.
Bless you.
And I know the grave is far as you can go to somebody.
Bless you.
I know my daddy won't think he'll check on that pallbearer that was in the ER.
Bless you.
So we left there and went to the emergency room. And I asked him, are you saved? And was that man that got killed saved? And he told me, he said, yeah. The guy that got killed was saved, but I'm not. That's the grace of God.
Yep. Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
Long suffering grace.
That he didn't take you out into eternity lost.
Amen.
And they only made it from Crow's Funeral Home to the red light down below Glasgow High School, which is just a few miles. But the preacher stood up and warned them just like he did in the morning. It's impressive on my heart so much. Why should you tell
bless.
That? When you said how short distance it is from the back of the church to the altar, when that guy left Coast Funeral Home, he never knew he was going to make it to the third red light. He stepped out, he's going to turn it down. I just encourage you, if you're lost, get saved.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Well, Nathan, I appreciate the message today, how true it is. They have thrown the law out. They don't have any regard for eternity. But there will be a judgment.
Yeah.
It'll be a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I'm glad I made preparation against that day. I appreciate the truths that have been told here today. I know the hour we're living in. And I know we're ripe for judgment, ripe for the coming. I'm glad I'm ready. I appreciate you. You laboring in the Word today. Good message, brother.
Amen.
Excellent for the day and hour we're living in.
Amen. Bless you, brother. Anyone else? Anyone else today before we be dismissed?
Brother Nathan, I just want to thank the Lord for the message. And I want to thank you for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for the message bearer. It was brought out in such a simple way that even I could understand.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for that. And if there is any that's lost in this room, Sister Cheryl has told you. And it's the truth. And so has Brother Nathan. We have no idea what's going to happen to us in the next hour.
Right.
We have no idea. And we may go out into eternity. And if you do, you better be prepared to meet
right.
the Lord.
Yeah.
I thank you for the message, and I thank God for it.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Word of testimony on your heart.
Lord. Brother Nathan, I thank the Lord to save my soul.
Bless you.
And I was 42 years old when I got saved. I went to church with my mom and dad over the years when I was younger. And people come up to me and thought I was saved. I'd lie to people like I was saved. And I really wasn't. I went through life lying to myself that I was saved.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord could have took my life at any time. But after when Dad passed away, I got saved in the basement.
Yeah.
I just thank the Lord that I did get saved.
Amen. Amen.
Thank the Lord that message.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good, Brother Jack. That's good.
Brother David, I want to thank the Lord for saving me this morning. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you for this message.
Sure.
Sure, I want to thank you for grace.
Yes.
Bless you, Lord.
When the Lord dealt with my heart when I grew up in church, and He dealt with my heart when I was about 15, the best I can remember. And I shined Him away. And then I lost my daddy, and I got lean. And I tried to commit every commandment. I tried to commit against Him. Mm. I was so bitter in my heart for years, and the Lord still loved me through all that.
Yeah, bless you, Lord.
And I thank Him for He gave me a daughter that finally touched my heart whenever she was of age.
Yeah, ma'am.
She started asking me why we didn't come to church. Mm-hmm. And God knew. God had a plan.
Yeah.
And I thank Him so much for His grace. I could have shied away from that.
Yeah.
But the Lord knew that would impress my heart more than anything.
Yeah,
and I thank Him for saving me. And I remember when I was a kid and going to church, I remember the Christians, the saved people was on the altars praying for lost.
Yeah.
I heard my name many times, and that just, you know, it still rings in my ears today that we're not concerned enough now.
Amen. Songs of careless soul while we linger.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank God for grace. That's why it's so amazing. Because there's no other way to describe it but amazing. That God would bestow His grace upon the unworthy such as you and I.
Amen, brother. Man.
Thank God for grace. Anybody else? Put upon your heart. Don't want to linger.
I thank God for saving me.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
What He's doing in my life right now and what He's done in these past 2 years.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank
God.
Brother Nathan, I want to thank the Lord for the sermon this morning. I want to thank you for saving me and my family.
Amen.
And amazes me that people can say no to the Lord and hear the truth, and that Bible is the truth, every word.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's thousands of prophecies in there that you can go and read, and they fulfill themselves. And you just need to listen to somebody when He's preaching the word, and you need to heed the call because God is calling.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Same one that called out to Adam.
Amen. All right, all hearts and minds clear. I don't want to dismiss or anything. If somebody's got something pressing upon your heart, I'm going to give you opportunity to testify for the Lord. Anybody else? Sister Mary.
Now, even at the door.
It's sad that the people that doesn't know God or didn't know God and they fall back and deny Him and everything. I mean, that makes me sick at night when I pray. I say, God, why? Why can't these people just open up their eyes? And, because when God comes back and to get us all, they're going to be lost. They're not going to have that chance. So they better step out. You know, and get that chance and step forward and say, God, I believe in you so much. I mean, please let me be saved. Let me just stand on your word and not deny you like many other people denied me. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And when I see these people that they capture over and that ISIS or whatever it is, And they have to be good people to get caught, you know. And I'm just praying that every one of them that did get caught and did get killed, I pray that they knew the Lord and that the Lord just took them home peacefully.
Amen. We need to all be thankful where we are right now and that we've got the opportunities that we do.
Right.
chance to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
Opportunities to get saved, that's for sure. That's for sure. All right, if no one else has anything else, Brother Lance, I'd like to ask you to dismiss us in a word of prayer, please.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Amen.
So you might